tuia ki te rangi, tuia ki te whenua, tuia ki te ngākau ngā tangata katoa, tihei, Māori ora. Vei ele nei avanō te mulimuli atu ai ele ngā ngore whawhatai, ele nei fōi tai apa ia tai ama malu tai au mātango whie, o tāpe neina le atua mo I tā ua. Greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. There was a quick greeting in Māori and then in my mother tongue, Samoan. But first of all, I just wanted to again thank you, Ian, for inviting me along to come and share the morning service and at 9 o'clock, and then obviously with you here at this moment. So as Ian had mentioned a little bit earlier, my name is Abel, and I work for a charity called Christians Against Poverty, and I'm here just to speak to you a little bit about what we do in partnership with churches across the country. First of all, I just wanted to, I don't know if that slides up yet, but I wanted to share a little bit about myself, just really, really quickly, so that you know who this person is standing before you. So I'm married. I've been married only once. We have 5 kids, 4 girls, 4 beautiful girls. My wife gave us some beautiful kids, eh? But 4 girls and my only son. Where are we? Maybe if I turn this on, it might help, eh? There you go. How's that? Oh, there you go. All right. So there's my wife with my little angel, Isabella. She's named after my mum. And I thought I'll share a photo of my that has my parents in there, because I love them dearly. But also because, well, I guess for my mum, she was born in Samoa, come over to Auckland with her parents to start the Samoan Methodist Church. And so that church planted all over New Zealand, over into Victoria, over in Australia, Queensland and New South Wales, before my grandparents had passed on. And so I grew up in that environment, that mission type home. So yeah, in many ways, it's I guess the gospel is the reason why I'm here. But the gospel coming to New Zealand, I guess, from Samoa, for our Samoan people. But we grew up in Greyland. Like I said, my grandparents had church planted first and foremost in the central suburbs of Auckland. And growing up in Auckland, growing up in the central suburbs of Auckland, I used to go to school with heaps of kids. We all used to walk to school, no shoes, no lunch. Sometimes they'll wear the same clothes days on end, and I never even thought anything about it. That was just normal. I also remember my first day at primary school. My mum packed me this lunch, vivid memories of that day. Packed an egg sandwich, a sliced carrots, and an apple, and a just juice, a little container of just juice. And come lunchtime, go to get my lunch out, and it was gone. It wasn't there. First day of primary school, I just left kindergarten where I was kingpin, and then big school. And I cried to the teacher, and I was standing there next to her at her desk. All the kids were down on the mat. And I see this boy named Penny eating an egg sandwich, munching on these sliced carrots, holding this red apple, and I'm pretty sure that's mine. But I explained that, and Mum used to make his lunch then on after. Like, she used to, make that guy's lunch, eh? But I explained that because I feel that was probably the first time I was introduced to, I guess, poverty in a sense. And there were so many kids exactly like Penny. We were okay at home. Mum and Dad, really hard workers, and they still are today. But when I about an intermediate, and Dad had been working for this plastic company in West Auckland for about 15 years up to at that point. But he got made redundant, so I remember Dad having to sell both of their cars. They used to both live work in different directions. But had to sell both of those cars just to make ends meet. I used to go with my little sister. We used to have to walk to the local food town, as it was called back then. I was embarrassed, like, walking back with these shopping bags, because we weren't allowed to taxi there, or we weren't allowed to bus there. And so I used to, be real shame, because some of my mates would, drive past and, we've got no car kind of thing. And so that was around in my intermediate years. And then high school, it was about 19, we lost our home in Greyland. that my grandparents had bought. And because mum and dad were the first ones to get married, you know, my mum's siblings, that we kind of had the home while my grandparents were church planting all over the place. But we lost it. And again, mum and dad, hard workers, but a lot of our people, and I'm talking about Pacific Islanders, not really good at managing money. And so unfortunately, we were forced to sell our family home. And I share that because I firmly believe that these events in my life are a reason that God has me here working for Christians Against Poverty at this time and in this season. And so I remember when I first come across CAP, Christians Against Poverty, I didn't know who they were. I remember watching some client testimonies on YouTube, and I saw families exactly like ours, families that looked like our family back then. And I remember watching that and thinking, man, these are families that are heavily weighed down with debt, but then now they were free from this burden. And I also saw relationships that were broken, but then they were restored through Jesus and through the church. And I thought, man, I wish these guys were around when we were struggling, you know, in debt and struggling financially. But of course not, man. That's why I'm here now. But it also made me think about, it completely changed the way that I viewed poverty. Because here were these videos of the church and people helping individuals and families out. And it made me really look at how we're called to care for people. It taught me that we don't know what's going on behind the smiles, behind the strong, those exteriors rather, that say, hey, everything's okay. And it also reminded me that there are a lot of hurting and broken situations that only Jesus can heal, and that only he can restore. And it also reminded me as well of the church, that the group of people here are his hands and feet, called to minister to people in our communities. And so this morning, I'm going to tell of stories of courageous people who have been helped by the local church and Christians Against Poverty, and also stories of churches reaching out to people in transformational ways. And as I share, my prayer is that our hearts be moved with compassion, and that the Holy Spirit will stir in us a desire to see beyond those strong exteriors and to understand people's struggles and to respond with mercy and to respond with love. And so let's start by looking at the story that Jesus shares in Luke 10 that we just heard, the reading for today. And so in Jesus' time, Jericho was an oasis situated near the Jordan River. It was a wealthy, busy city. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho was heavily trafficked with salespeople, worshippers, and tradesmen. It was a 15-kilometer, 1,000-meter descent through dry land, and it was known among the locals as the Way of Blood. And so if you had to return to Jericho along this dangerous pass, you'd be thinking about the need for food, water, and proper clothes to survive the harsh sun and heat. And you'd be thinking about the need to protect yourself, stay in groups, and keep moving as you come across these narrow passes that were often lined with caves where there would be robbers waiting and hiding. And so with that picture in mind, imagine you're along this road, and as you carefully approach a narrow pass, you see a heap just slumped on the side of the road. Up ahead, a priest, a holy man, he moves out of the way to avoid the body. Behind him, there's a Levite. He comes closer, but he too steps over him and he continues quickly on. Now, Jesus doesn't say why they didn't stop, and it may have been because they didn't want to become ritually unclean by touching someone who had been left for dead on the side of the road. It may also have been a strong sense of self-preservation, because stopping here would have meant risking their own life, because there would be robbers sitting in the shadows waiting to ambush their next victim. But then suddenly you notice a Samaritan, someone who was actually considered the enemy of the Jew. And as Jesus tells the story, he says that the Samaritan was moved by compassion for this Jewish man who had been beaten, stripped of his clothes, and left for dead. And so whenever I read this parable, I'm struck by the Samaritan's extravagant care for this man. You see, the Samaritan ignores all danger to himself. He kneels down. He takes care of the man's immediate physical needs, But then he enters into his pain and suffering, and he brings a healing touch. He cleans up the man's wounds, he bandages him up, he puts his own cloak around him, he loads him onto his donkey, and then he finds the nearest place to rest on this dangerous road. He also gives 2 days' wages so that the man is fed for and cared for, and then he promises to cover all further costs of his recovery. And so by responding when he did and in the way he did, he saved this man's life. And who is being a neighbor to this man? Jesus asks, was it the Levite or was it the holy man? No, it was the one who showed him mercy. It was the one who showed him compassion. But you might be thinking, well, what does that mean for you and I here today? Well, the reality is, poverty robs people. It strips people of dignity and it rips them out of community. There are families in our nation, and I bet that there are families in your community here who have been left on the roadside of Aotearoa, battered, beaten down by poverty, often caused by debt, but also generational cycles that seem impossible to break. They may be people that we know or that you see every day, but often they're people that we don't see and people that we assume are okay. It's people like Kath and Marlowe, both put on a brave face as they went to work each and every day, but they struggled to feed their kids on $60 a week for food. Home became a place of resentment, and home became a place of anger. It's Emma, another CAP client. She struggled to find work, and she was living in a little garage with her son, and no one to turn to for help. She felt like a complete failure, and she felt like a bad mum. And it's Sia, beautiful mum who was trapped in an endless cycle of debt and repayments and creditors' phone calls, wondering if life was even worth living as she considered taking her own life. So their situations look a little something like this. Imagine that after paying all of your bills, you have just $60 a week or $8.50 a day to feed your family of five. That is the amount CAP clients who are trying to survive on. That's how much it is that they're trying to survive on when they make that first call for help. But if that's all you have, well then what happens if one of the kids gets sick? The prescription costs $15, or it's a really, really cold week. And so you keep on the heater, you keep the heater on that little bit longer. What happens if you're in that situation? Well, now you have to choose between feeding your children or keeping your house warm. And so what do? Well, you skip a meal, and soon that becomes your pattern. CAP clients tell us that this was their norm. 2 out of 3 skip meals on a regular basis. There's absolutely no extras for basics like car maintenance or school clothes, shoes, or school fees. So you choose to borrow just to put a little bit extra on the food, just to put a little bit of extra food on the table. Or you borrow to fix your car so that you can get to work in the first place. And then what happens is the interest compounds quickly and the repayments, they make the days and the weeks even harder. You're tired, you're hungry, you lose your temper more, and then you begin to fight more. And then your sense of belonging shifts and you withdraw from people. Because if you don't have money for petrol, or you can't take that dish to the family party, well, what do? You stay home. You stay hidden. Over time, your identity is shaped by a loneliness, a feeling of failure, hopelessness, perhaps even depression. And there's that shame, you know, from that social stigma that says you're not trying hard enough. And this one is hard to hear, as I explained Sia had gone through. But 1 in 4 clients had told us that they had considered or attempted to take their own life just because of debt. And one client described it like this: it's the stuff that breaks you. So you know, if we look back in Luke 4, the parable that we had just read, and a few chapters before that parable, Jesus announces his public ministry. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he says that this is who I am. And this is why I am here. I am here with the good news for the poor. I'm here to bind up wounds. I'm here to heal the broken hearts. I'm here to set the captives or to set the prisoners free. And so his very actions were always moved and guided by compassion, just like we see in the Good Samaritan. His heart was turned toward the lost, the hungry, and the poor. And today there is an enemy who wants to rob people, who wants people to be defined by their struggle and trapped in their poverty. But there's hope because Jesus came. And Jesus gave his life and Jesus rose again to release people bound by pain and hopelessness and into a life of fullness and freedom and joy. And he has called his church. He empowers each and every one of us in this place to enter into people's pain, to respond with compassion, and to bring his freedom and transformation. The fact is, the New Zealand government can and does help. Social service agencies have a big role to fill. But we as the church, are best placed to take care of people both practically and spiritually. And this is where CAP comes in. Over the past 14 years, Christians Against Poverty has been in New Zealand, we've partnered with hundreds of local churches throughout New Zealand, acting as a bridge into community, helping people love their neighbours who have been left on the roadside of Aotearoa. And today, we offer ministries that help people get out and stay out of debt. More than that, these are ministries that are built on a model of compassionate, holistic care that welcome people into community and introduce them to the transforming love of Jesus. In 2008, we began with CAP Debt Help, just a couple of slides before. We began with CAP Debt Help, which reaches people who are in poverty because of unmanageable debt. And this is the help that Kath and Marlowe, Emma and Sia, that I'd shared with about earlier, this is the help that they had received, CAP Debt Help. There's a whole team of people from local churches across the country who visit clients in their homes after they've made that first free call for help. They get to know the families, they get to take care of those immediate practical needs like filling up their cupboards and their refrigerators with food. But then they also get to pray with families and they get to say that you're a good mum and that you're a good dad, that you're doing an amazing job. After all of that, they get to gather their debts and bills and then they send it up to us who take care of all the technical side of things. So they send all of those bills and all of those debts to CAP Head Office, and we've got a team that's advocating on behalf of more than 500 clients each and every day. We also have a team that negotiate with creditors to lower interest or maybe even write off interest and get some of those payments lowered as well. They're also able to build livable budgets so that clients can begin to pay back their debt, but be able to do so at an affordable rate. So the CAP team work with people throughout, on average, 2 to 4 year journey out of debt, supporting them through those life changes. And the church, well, like I said, that's the team that provide the holistic care, inviting people to church, fixing cars, babysitting kids, wrapping client families up in complete support and love. But as you see on the screen there, CAP also works to prevent poverty with the top of the cliff approach called the CAP Money Course. And this is a 3-session money management course run by the church for anyone who wants to get a better gauge and a better understanding on their finances, whatever age or stage of life you're in. And the course itself is run in a group environment, so it can be held at in a room within a church, but it's in a group environment where people can support and encourage each other. Over the past 14 years, there have been more than 16,000 people that have completed the CAP Money course. We also have CAP Money for Youth, which just helps 15 to 18-year-olds get a better understanding of money as well. But what I love about the CAP services and working together with the church is that together we provide a platform for hope. And hope is powerful, and hope doesn't just start the day that you become debt-free, but hope starts with the prayer when someone first calls CAP for help. It starts with someone showing up and saying that we're here to help you, that you're not alone anymore. And it starts with the knowledge that people have value and that there is a God who loves them and has so much more for them. Now I'm going to share a story, or rather I'm going to play a video, a story of a person that had been helped through their Debt Help service as well.
I was at a point in my life where I actually embarrassing, and I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't want to tell anybody my feelings because I didn't want them to say that I was sick or something's wrong with me. So I just kept it to myself. It was the debt, it was the things I was doing, the life I was living. I just remembered like when my daughter was little, we had nothing in the cupboard. I would go rummaging like in between chairs, just looking for coins just to get some bread. It was terrible. I felt like I would tackle a bill and then another bill would pop up. And I guess I was going round in circles like a merry-go-round. I didn't know how I could get out of it. And I hated it. Like, I was just like, is this it? Is this life? One day I went to the mailbox and grabbed the newspaper and I brought it inside. And as I looked at it, it had the family on it that was free of debt. And so I started reading it. Something inside me said to ring. At that time, I had no credit on my phone, but it was the 800 number. I heard a knock at the door, and standing there was Chris. She was like an authoritative figure. Like, I'm here to get things done. I felt like finally somebody's here to help me. We sat down on the table, and she said to me, "Where's your bills?" And I said, "Here." I had a pole in my hand, and she just went, "Right, give them here." And she took them from me. It felt like she just took a huge weight off me. There were like superheroes coming to sort out my life, pretty much, and they did. She asked me if I had been to church. I said no, and she just started talking about a man named Jesus. It wasn't until she said that he is able to help me as well that I started to get a little bit interested in what she was saying. And then she asked me, "Could we pray with you? Do you want to invite Jesus into your life?" And I said, "Okay, like what have I got to lose? Because I had nothing and felt like nothing anyways." After the prayer, it felt like God had picked me up and had me in his hand. And it was like, he went, like, finally, like, yes, you'll come home. So I started feeling happier, like I was full, like I had everything. When I was with Cap, it felt like I had support. I had people that had my back, that believed in me, and it made the process so much easier. I didn't like having a budget, but I knew that what I was doing never worked. So yeah, I was willing to give this a go, and it actually worked out. I got a phone call from one of the ladies at the office, and yeah, she said that I was debt free. I said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you so much." And I got off the phone, and I sat there and I just remembered like just crying. I just started crying. Part of the process of being with Cap, I felt like it was motivating me to get a job, to find my place in the world. And I actually got off the benefit, which is one of the goals that I wanted for my life. It makes me feel really good. Me and my family's faith has grown with each other. Even when things happen, we stick it out through prayer. And I love it, especially in my marriage. My hope for my children is that they seek God first. I feel like I'm teaching them better money principles. I just hope that what I've learned, they would be able to pick it up and do it for their families. I have a life now. Now I love life. And life's so much happier and more fun with Jesus. I feel God's got bigger dreams than what, you know, than what I have at the moment. So yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. John 10:10, the first part of that scripture, where it says that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. This was the kind of transformation as to the reason why I wanted to work with Christians Against Poverty. Like, families that are not just struggling with debt, but really, they almost just need Jesus in their homes. And to be able to have a ministry that opens up, where people are opening up their homes and saying, please come into my vulnerability, please come into my situation and help me, I'm desperate. And then to be able to, as the church, go in and say, man, yes, we can help you. There's an organization up in Auckland that can help you. But man, Jesus can really free you from everything. And so when people are freed from poverty and they discover who they are in Christ, everything changes. There's a ripple effect also for the next generation. If I think about Kath and Marlo, they become debt-free, and because of the work that had been done with them and in partnership with their local church through CAP, they are now CAP debt help coaches as well. And their home is a lot more joyous and a lot more happy. Emma, she also become debt-free back in 2015. And since then, she decided that she needed to get married. She's found a job, and she's now teaching her son the very principles that have helped her. But these are stories of precious families that have been helped, not just by CAP, but more importantly, through the partnership that we have with churches as well. Over the past 14 years, CAP has been working with many churches across Aotearoa, and in that time, more than $90 million of bills and debt have been repaid by clients or totally written off. Over 2,150 people have gone completely debt-free. And CAP doesn't pay a dollar. We don't pay anything. It's the clients that do all the hard work. They do the hard mahi. And just like you heard in Sia's testimony, this is now over 1,400 people have said yes to a relationship with Jesus. That's over 1,400 people and their families who are growing in a relationship with our Savior. And so every day there are people that are being set free from the bondage of debt and poverty and stepping into a life filled with freedom and joy. And this is the power of the church. This is the power of the body of Christ. This is the power of you and me giving our time, our resources, and extravagant compassion to our neighbors who need it the most. So in conclusion, well, how can you respond today? Well, first and foremost, if there is anybody that you know that you're listening to me and thinking, man, I think my brother, or I think my neighbor, or I think somebody needs help, I'm going to be here afterwards and more than happy to give you some information, more information. I've got some information at the back, pamphlets, etc. But there's also a number up there and a website that you can jot down if you like. And you can pass that on to anybody that you know or feels may need our help or these services. But secondly, Ian, and I'm really grateful to Ian for connecting with us. And as you heard a little bit earlier as well, looking at this new build that you have and this project that you have, looking at implementing like some debt help services as well. And so to have a debt help service in a church where the church goes out and the church is God's hands and feet, I think that would be amazing for your communities, but also Wellington in general as well. So so that in closing, I really want to thank you again for considering CAP and Christians Against Poverty as a ministry to be able to reach your communities and to be that bridge into your communities. So thank you again, Ian, for allowing me to come and share. Thank you so much for your patience with the technical difficulties and whatnot. I really hope that you're taking something from this, but also I'm also available just to have a chat if you'd like after the service. If I can just quickly pray for you before we conclude our service. Let us pray. Dear Father God, I come before you, Lord, with thanksgiving. I'm in awe, Lord, of who you are and what you are to each and every one of us. You're the giver of the lives that we live, and we are truly grateful, Father God, that we are here at this time. I just want to thank you for the opportunity that you've afforded us to be able to come together and for me to be able to share with the parish here at Karori. I just really am grateful, Father God, that they're considering, Lord, not just putting debt help services together, Father, but many other social services to reach their community. So I pray a special blessing upon Ian and in leading this congregation, but I also pray for each and every one of our brothers and sisters that are here today, Lord. May your blessings be upon them and their families, Father God. May you continue to guide them through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And this is a prayer I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.